for the sermon this morning continues on with our theme, the aftermath of the resurrection. We're finishing up John chapter 21. And I'll read the text. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus speaking to Peter, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is it that is the one who betrays you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Therefore the saints sent out among the brethren that the disciple would not die, yet Jesus didn't say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who has testified to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that your blessings would be upon us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to illuminate our mind and our hearts, to breathe hope into us of the future and of the present, for you are our King, you are our Sovereign, we are in your hands now and always. Amen. The book Providence relates a tragic story of an American missionary named Veronica Bowers, whose plane was shot down over South America. She, her daughter, pilot, her husband, and her son were all aboard that plane. I'll just read the story. It says, April the 20th, 2001, the Peruvian Air Force mistook the missionary plane for a drug plane and opened fire. Missionary Veronica Bowers, age 35, was holding her 7-month-old daughter, Charity, in her lap behind pilot Kevin Donaldson. With them were Veronica's husband, Jim, and 6-year-old son, Corey. The pilot's legs were shot. He put the plane into an emergency dive and amazingly crash-landed it on a river where it sank just as they got out. One bullet had passed by Jim's head and made a hole in the windshield. Another bullet passed through Veronica's back and stopped inside her baby, killing them both. What does a young husband do when that happens? What does he believe and say? So that the bullet that pierced Veronica and her baby would have pierced and killed the pilot. And the bullet passed right by her husband's head, did him no harm, and went through the windshield, along with other bullets. So was that just random? Was it just meaningless? Was God powerless? Did God bless one and then curse the other? Did he frown on the mother and the baby, but not the pilot? Did only the pilot have reason for comfort and strength? These are the sorts of questions that people might legitimately ask about this. Now, the husband didn't ask those questions. He came from a totally different approach. And we'll hear from him later. But it's also the sort of questions that we can ask even in our gospel reading, just before the sermon, the second gospel reading, as it relates to Peter and John. Now, we're picking up from last week where we heard Jesus at the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection, the third time that he meets with the disciples in a larger group, and he's speaking to Peter, and he asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Just as Peter denied Jesus three times during Holy Week, during the trial of Jesus. And now we continue on, and we have, in that same scene, Peter and John, called to follow Jesus. Peter, though, his life is going to end in martyrdom. Jesus makes that clear. And John, he's going to deal with some issues. He'll be thrown into prison, as we know, in the island of Patmos, but then released. And John is going to live a very, very long life, and he's going to die a natural death. But both of them were favored by God. Peter, well, Jesus called him Rock, and it was upon Peter's confession that Jesus is going to build, the Holy Spirit's going to build the church. And John is an apostle whom Jesus loved, that third person that way he spoke about himself in the third person. Why the different outcomes? Well, in today's message, I have a goal. Hope you'll keep it in mind, because there's going to be a lot in the sermon. But the goal is this, that I want you to follow Jesus confidently in every circumstance in your life, because you live under his kingly, sovereign will. I want you to live your life in confidence, not in fear, not at the whim of randomness and meaninglessness, but under the King, who is your Savior, and under whose will you live. The way forward is I want to talk about, first of all, the prediction of Peter's death. And then secondly, we're going to talk about how Peter glorifies God in his death, and then Peter following Jesus despite his impending death. And we'll start with that first one, the prediction of Peter's death. And let me read it again for you. You don't have it in your bulletin, but John 21:18. It reads, "Truly, truly, I say to you," again, Jesus is speaking to Peter, "when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished." Right? I mean, he has his clothes, he has his robe, he's girding himself, he's putting on his belt, and so forth. "When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." So what does Jesus mean in this verse? Because if you read over it quickly, it might sound a little convoluted, a little vague, but clearly it's telling us, Jesus is telling Peter, that he's not going to die naturally. He's going to die at the hands of other people who are going to gird him. They're going to bind him up. And as one commentator I read notes, this phrase, this way of talking, this stretching out of your hands, was a common way in the ancient world that they would describe crucifixion. So Jesus is pointing out, Peter, you too, like I was, you too are going to be crucified. And since Jesus, now get this, since Jesus, especially now in his glorified state after his resurrection, knowing all things, why didn't he just warn Peter, "Hey Peter, you stay out of Rome this year. Peter, just go away and hide. Play it safe." Isn't it always God's will that only good would happen to his people? Oh, by the way, the often thought of question in many Christian circles today is, isn't it always God's will to heal? And the answer is yes and no. The answer is yes, because God will heal all in the resurrection. The answer is no, because God's will is not to heal everyone in this life. If it was, you wouldn't die. Now, when we talk about the will of God, you know, people have looked at the will of God in different facets and different ways, describing various details about the will of God. And so let me give you three different ways that we can look at the will of God. And the first one is this. We can talk about the decreed will of God. That is, what God has planned in eternity past, which will not be thwarted by the will of mankind. And there's various examples of this, but the greatest example of this is Jesus, the Savior of the world. That was the decreed will of God. It was going to happen no matter what. God was making that plan come into reality, despite the fact that if you go through history, there are several things that worked against that. For instance, the apostasy in Israel. The walking away of the faith and the walking after idols was ultimately attacked not only on the faith of the people, not only on the glory of God, but in the plan to bring Jesus from the seed of Israel to reality, to the incarnation. Or you can go to the point where there was only one descendant of King David left in the world. Because remember, from King David's line was to come the Messiah. But in a certain time of history, a certain ruler, she struck out, tried to wipe out David's line. One was hidden. One was left. But still, God's plan was not thwarted. And you could go to Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus, with Herod the Great sending his soldiers and killing all the babies, the male babies, 2 years and under, trying to kill the seed to thwart the work of God. None of it worked. God's decreed will, his plan will happen. We can also look at God's will and talk about his moral will, that he gives us various commands. He illuminates to us so we're not walking in darkness in this world by our own light, which is no light at all, but in the light of his will, giving us his commands and his teachings. Now there, God allows for that to be ignored. You can do that, right? A person can reject the commands of the Lord. God gives you the freedom to reject his will. He doesn't give you the power, however, to choose your outcome. Because there is a day of judgment where we all stand before the Lord and give an account for our lives. But now, if you wanted to, you could walk away from Jesus. Now, that would be a very stupid thing to do. Alright? That would be unholy. That would be a disgrace to the God of the universe who created you and sent his Son to die for your sins. But you can do that if you want. The third item we can talk about the will of God is also, and it's somewhat similar but bigger than the second, and that is the permissive will of God. So with the decreed will of God, the moral will of God, and the permissive will of God, and that God, who is perfectly powerful and perfectly good, allows for evil to take place in the world. And he will turn that evil for his people to their own good. Peter was in God's will, no matter what. He was in God's kingly and sovereign will. Thus, he's under God's blessings and control. And when he's proclaiming the gospel and a lot of people are coming to salvation, A lot of people are coming to Christians and they see the success of the gospel mission. When everything is glorious and when everything is good, God was with Peter. And when Peter was being crucified, God was still in control and he was still in the will of God. And he wasn't in the hands of random, meaningless actions. The Romans were not Peter's conqueror, and they weren't his ultimate authority. God was. Cancer is not your conqueror. Death is not your dictator. Depression doesn't own your fate. And you're not in the mercy of random, meaningless events any more than Peter was. God is your king, right? Jesus is your savior. And so what are you called to do? Follow him in confidence. Follow him in boldness. You know, how would it be if a person believed they were really at the mercy of chance and randomness in this world? I would want to take a step out my front door. Meteor might come and hit me. Guess what? You're not at the whim of random, meaningless events. You are under the control and the authority, the will of God, your Heavenly Father, of Jesus, your Savior, the Holy Spirit, your Comforter. And that means it's true when good happens, and it means when a bullet pierces your body, or sorrow pierces your soul. So that's the prediction of Peter's death. But let's look also at Peter glorifying God in his death. And Jesus talks about this in verse 19. Now this, Jesus says, signifying of what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." What was the purpose of Jesus' prophecy? Why did Jesus speak this? Well, I mean, what did Jesus say this to Peter to burden Peter? Was he mentioning this cruel martyrdom, right? Because crucifixion was cruel. It was an awful way to die. Because it was the Romans gave you a very slow and inglorious death. So, did Jesus tell Peter this? In this cruel martyrdom, so that it would hang over Peter like a dark cloud for all of his life until he finally reaches that moment? You know, sometimes, like, people have a dark cloud. Oh, I got this cancer gene just like my mother did or my grandmother, and I'm going to have this problem too. Is Peter just living that out? Believe it or not, I think the purpose of what Jesus said was to encourage Peter. In World War II, there was a naval aviator. He was on the aircraft carrier, the USS Bunker Hill. And he had already been in combat. You know, the war had already been going on. He's in the Pacific Theater. But before one mission, he's just overwhelmed by fear. And he's telling the chaplain, by the way, the LCMS chaplain, he's telling the chaplain how he's so fearful he's sick to his stomach. And the chaplain says, "Well, look, I can talk to the skipper about holding you back on this mission." And he said, "No, it's not what I want, chaplain. I want you to help me through the fear. I don't want to be yellow. I want to hold my head up high. I want to do my duty as a naval aviator." When Jesus told Peter about his crucifixion, his coming crucifixion, it told Peter, you don't have to worry about not making it. You don't have to fear your failure. You know what? What happens when we fear failure? It oftentimes becomes a weight in our shoes. It holds us back. Peter, you don't have to worry. You're not going to repeat what you did on Holy Week. Peter, you're going to make it through. God will hold his elect. God will hold the ones whom he loves and who love him. God will hold you to the very end. So Peter's death is going to, in the end, glorify God. How's it going to glorify God? How does death glorify God? Well, we can think of Jesus. Jesus' death glorified God. How did it do that? Jesus' death highlighted the great love that God has for sinful people. How God could have just said, hasta la vista, baby, go to heaven. He didn't do that. He sent his Son into this world to be our Savior. He sent his Son to this world to be your personal Savior and the Savior of the whole world. To be the Savior of all who believe in him and call upon him. So we can see that Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus' death, does indeed glorify God. But Peter's death, how can that glorify God? Well, I listed six things. I'm only going to give you two of them, okay? I know, Pastor, give us all six. How did his death glorify God? He displayed the worth of Christ and the preciousness of the gospel by dying faithfully. He displayed the worth of Christ. That Christ is so great, that Christ is so worth all things, that his gospel is worth my very life. His death glorifies God in this way. And not only in this, but in his death, he magnified the victory of Christ because he dies in the sure hope of the resurrection. He doesn't die, woe is me, what's going to happen to me when I die? He dies in this, Jesus is my resurrection too. I will follow where my Lord has gone, first to the cross and then to glory. So how is your life and how will your death glorify God? How is your life now glorifying God? How will your death glorify him? You know, when we go into that process of death, it's not necessarily an easy thing. Some are quite ready for it. Others are not. And there's all sorts of emotions. There's sorrow over family, friends. But we got more than sorrow. We have Jesus and his gifts. Moving on, we see then that Peter follows despite this prophecy and this expectation of martyrdom, despite death. In John, moving on in the text, John 21, 21 and 22, so Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, talking about the Apostle John, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. I want him to stay. Who's in charge? If I want him to stay, folks, he is immortal until his work is done. Follow me, Jesus says. So Peter, he's going to follow Jesus. And eventually that's going to be martyrdom. And John, he's going to be following Jesus too. And that's going to be through some persecution, some time in jail. But that's going to be to a ripe old age where he dies naturally. Both are God. Both are favored. Did God bless John and curse Peter? No. Peter was a rock in the eyes of Jesus. Was there comfort and strength only for John and not Peter? No. Both Peter and John had the very same hope. Was God powerless to help Peter but could help John? No. Peter and John were both under the will of God, following the Lord who is King. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, in whatever plight you may have, follow Jesus. Cling to Jesus. Just like Mary at the tomb. When she sees Jesus is risen, what does she do? What does she do? She grabs hold of Jesus. Mary Magdalene. I gotta go. Mary, I gotta go. And she's grabbing hold of Jesus. Grab hold of Jesus all the more. Cling to Him. Follow Him. Glorify Him. And do so in your life and do so in your death. Do so in your joys and do so in your sorrows. Let me wrap up with this. Veronica Bowers and her baby Charity were killed by that Peruvian fighter jet. And just in March, this last March, I saw an interview with her husband. So it was an interview 25 years after the fact, after the death of his wife and baby. And I thought something was very interesting in that interview, and that is he will argue with people. When they called his wife's death and baby's death a tragedy. Because he says it isn't a tragedy to be with Jesus. He says, you know what's a tragedy is when you're 90 years old, you've lived a long life, and you die without Christ. That's a tragedy. You know what a tragedy is? If the preacher preaching this word or the people listening to this word, the members of this congregation or the visitors, having heard the gospel, would choose to die without Jesus. That's a tragedy. By the way, 25 years earlier, at his wife and baby's funeral, there's a man who spoke, among others, Steve Saint. He himself was a young child when his own missionary father died with the famous Jim Elliot, who was also there in Ecuador when he and Steve and I believe a couple others were speared to death by the tribe that they were trying to bring the gospel to bring Christ to. That was way back in 1956. And so this Steve addressed Veronica's 8-year-old boy, because he was about that age when his father was murdered, having himself endured somewhat a similar trauma. I think he could relate to the boy. And then he turned his head to the congregation and he spoke about the unbelieving world. He said this: for them, the pain is fundamental, but the joy is superficial because it won't. For us, the pain is superficial, and the joy is fundamental, because joy will not end. And so, folks, we follow Jesus.